In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. The reading is from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Let us be attentive. After this there was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there in Jerusalem, by the Sheep's Gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity of 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well. He took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who is this man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple, and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Glory to thee, O our God, glory to thee. Now this parable of the healing of the paralytic, which is one of a series of markers or signs of the power of God and the truth of Christ that is presented in the Holy Evangelist John's Gospel, is presented to us on this third Sunday after Pascha, and in some ways it is a continuation of the theme we discussed last week with the myrrh-bearing women. This is an account of a major healing miracle that the Lord performs, and in doing it, he gives us some lessons or examples which we can meditate on as we contemplate the mystery of the resurrection and the revelation of just who Christ is to us and the world today. And the first such lesson is patience and vigilance. This man was in his state of infirmity for almost 40 years, which is effectively a lifetime, and his presence at Bethesda is a sign to us of the man's patience, his fortitude and faith, that in being close to the place where healing was known to occur, he might receive the same. And he was just one of many such people, who knows how many, who were all assembled there. And his presence there indicated that, despite decades of hardship, despite so many years of healing sought and yet unobtained, despite such a protracted period of suffering and helplessness, he retained his humanity. And by that I mean he did not lose his faith that there is a merciful God that would offer healing to him, and despite his condition, he would continue to seek that healing, that relief, knowing that somehow help and mercy and relief would come to him. He held on to this possibility, and in doing this, retained his dignity as a human being. He kept his hope, even in the midst of protracted affliction. And this also suggests courage and steadfastness. Now, the second lesson or example this man offers to us is honesty. Jesus, of course, already knows the man's state that he had been in for a long time, and he asks him a very simple question: "Do you want to be made well?" And without offering excuses, this poor man, again affirming his humanity, is bluntly honest, saying that he does his best, but that others can reach the water at the appointed time before he can. And thus we understand that, despite his best efforts, he just cannot manage to accomplish what others are able to do. And with that, Jesus heals him. The man is truthful that he does not want to be in his present state. He's not making excuses. He's not trying to game the system or look for a handout. He's just at the limit of his capabilities, and he has no other options. And thus we can assume from this account that most likely this picture, the man trying to get down the steps and others beating him to it every time, went on for years. And with God's help, he is finally released from that vicious cycle of suffering. And this brings us to the third lesson, which is obedience. Jesus, upon healing the man, instructs him to take up his bed and walk, which is no simple thing. And he does this without even necessarily discerning who the person was who actually healed him. Yet he responds to this healing and rises. It is a deliberate thing that we often are given examples in which people are raised up from their beds of illness, of brokenness, and even death, which is the ultimate example given to us as proof that there is no burden, no suffering, no cross too heavy for the Lord to bear for us all. And the man receives this with humility and obedience. And significantly, he goes on to another place where God is known to be operative, the temple, which suggests that he is offering thanksgiving for the healing which has come to him. Now contrast that with the usual pharisaical response of the religious authorities, who zero in on the legal infraction. He's performing this act on the Sabbath, and being merciless to the man's condition of prolonged suffering and pain. So, when we look in the mirror and contemplate our own responses to hardship, whether that which we encounter ourselves or see in others, how do we respond? Do we dig deep to find the patience, fortitude, and courage necessary to hold on? Are we honest with ourselves, and do we authentically seek relief from suffering, in ourselves and for others? Do we do the things necessary to make that healing possible, such as exposing the dark places of our hearts, where selfishness, fear, and hatred of others so often dwells, to the healing light that allows love to grow? Do we shine that love outward to others, the least among us, and work to alleviate their suffering? Do we seek mercy and peace and give thanks for the many small miracles of healing that occur in human hearts every day? Do we turn away from our pharisaical sides, which take pleasure in exactitude and self-righteousness, and turning a blind eye to the suffering of others? So let us take this day, this very day, as an opportunity to heed the very good example offered to us by this humble man's encounter with Christ, and let that light so fill our hearts that we may turn those examples into good practice in our lives, that we may offer the healing hand to those most in need around us. And we ask this in the name of the most merciful and compassionate God, with his only begotten Son, an all-holy, good, and life-creating Spirit, now and ever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Christ is risen. God bless you all.